free. Introduction to Buddhism is from Cambridge University. It's a university textbook from England. And probably have all sorts of issues discussing. In my recent retreat in Budapest in Hungary, one lady, after maybe 6 or 7 days of meditation, she realized overnight what she was doing was to fit in. Her father was an ambassador. So every 3 years they move. Okay? You are posted to different stations every 3 years. You come back home 3 years, you are posted to a different country the next 3 years. From the age of 3 to the age of 19, she has to move school every 3 years. She has to leave behind her friends and then go to a different school in a different country, in a totally different culture. So in order to be accepted in this school, not to be singled out, not to look different, okay, she tried to fit in. And that has become her habit. So all her life, she never knew herself. Try to fit in means you try to be perfect in other people's eyes. To be a good girl, to be a good this, good that. Okay? You try to do that. Meaning, you're trying to be perfect. So the first sentence that she told me during the interview on day 7 was, I'm very relieved today. Okay? What's your experience? Okay. I have been practicing this. I'm referring to what we have been practicing, what we have practiced in the monastery during this weekend. Mindfulness, compassion, and joyful feeling, these three things. And ask her to look back her life as far back as she could remember from her childhood. And she saw herself only trying to fit in, unable to really enjoy her, you know, what she is. So the first sentence she was telling me, I'm very relieved, I don't need to be perfect. She said that. Put unnecessary pressure on herself. I'm trying to be a perfect man in the eyes of the people, then I create a lot of pressure. A perfect meditator, I create a lot of pressure. A perfect meditator, you're not allowed to smile, you're not allowed to fall asleep when when you meditate. You're not allowed to actually move your posture during the sitting to be so-called perfect meditative. See? But I just need to be kind to, compassionate to my body, my aging, my decaying body. Okay? I just need to be aware of the limitation and that I'm at peace and progress. If the teaching you have been getting so far about Buddhism is from the Burmese meeting and the sadhus speak with the Burmese culture in mind, there will be some part of it that you can't relate. What about asking me questions? What about questioning my interpretation. Is it okay? But in Burma, they wouldn't do this. Okay. But when you actually read the Buddhist lectures in the original text, you're going to see a lot of dharma. Most of the Buddhist lectures are dharma. Meaning it's not one way system at all. The Buddha encouraged discussion. You don't have to remember this, just for the sake of hearing this is the Dhamma Dhakisa discussion on the truth, on the practice, on how to enhance our welfare and well-being. Like this. So you have to find your own Buddhism. Okay. We learn from teacher from different teachers, we have to be open minded. Learn from different teachers.
This is your
assistant. Oh, okay. She's exhausted. She is studying very hard.
You have exam soon?
Yeah.
When?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
She's in science and technology. So
she's attending one of the best schools in the United States.
So it's hard. Very hard. She did ninth grade, but she did London college stuff.
I understand your stress. I come from Oxford.
I would like to say for me and for her, like you said, it's hard because in society we want to fit in, we want to be accepted by others, right? But because I was in the car accident, it caused a concussion, and after I overcame that, it led to my anxiety, and I had post-traumatic stress disorder, and when I tried to open myself, be open about it, and tell my friends about it, all of a sudden they started moving away. Exactly. So how can you be happy with yourself, but at the same time like try not to conform to the expectations of society?
I actually don't use the word happiness so much, because when we are after happiness, sometimes we get lost. We become driven. We think happiness is a price. This is something that we have to have. And very often people interpret happiness as excitement. So with excitement, they can't actually understand what happiness means. So from Buddhist point of view, we talk more about inner peace. If you have inner peace, actually, you can be confident about what you're doing. It's okay that other people have their opinion. But that's their problem, it's not your problem. You don't really need to make it your problem. For your information, you know that you have gone through this terrible accident. It's likely you're now recovering. I'd like to tell you how the brain can heal yourself. I want you to read this book. It's a very easy book by somebody from Columbia University. This is about mindfulness and neurology. The title of the book is called The Brain That Heals Itself. The Brain That Heals Itself. Okay. Michael Dodd is the name of that consultant, that psychiatrist. He's a psychiatrist who also ventured into clinical psychology and my Buddhist mindfulness. The brain that can heal itself. That means proper meditation, maybe 6 minutes, 8 minutes a day, learning how to recognize your stress signal, and also the trick, okay, learning how to work with them. This is going to help you. Perhaps you know you will become one of the best neurologists if you're interested. So this is one thing that you can read and do. I'm not talking about meditation in the hard way. Get up 3:30 in the morning, go to bed at 9:30 or maybe 10, and the whole day, okay, just sit and walk mindfully. I'm not suggesting that you do this. What I'm suggesting is that a kind of, you can Google, like you can find on YouTube mindfulness based stress reduction. Okay, it's called MBSR, mindfulness based stress reduction. It's a modification of Marcy Sarah's meditation teaching to fit into American mind, the American society. We have to recognize this is a new culture for Buddhism, and Buddhism has to adapt. So, have I answered your question?
Yeah.
In some way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because obviously as a teenager, you experience a lot of stress academically, also from pressures from family. So everyone handles that stress in many different ways. And for me specifically, I like to keep it all inside of me. And when it gets to the point where I just can't hold it anymore, it just comes out. And it's hard on not just me, but my mom and dad and my sister. And I don't want to do that to them. But
you see, the first thing is the way we look at stress, our attitude towards stress. I like to mention two extremes in coping with stress. One is to justify the stress. The other is to suppress it. Both are extreme. You cannot solve your stress. Your stress is this way. So, this is a kind of like Charles Darwin's expression in evolutionary theory, fight or flight. You go into either fight mode or flight mode. When it comes to yourself, you are in flight mode. And when it's too much, you reach your limit in suppressing it because you're using so much energy suppressing it. So what happens then? Explode. What we do is we recognize stress on a daily basis. We try to find stress signaling, as I mentioned earlier. Signaling is that, okay, maybe you become irritated easily, so irritation is a stress signal. Straight away, you embrace this irritation. Okay, this is irritation. This is irritation. When I say this is means, okay, you are looking at stress as a third person. What's your name?
Celine.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you are not looking at stress, you are not identifying stress with Celine. Okay, what you're doing is that, okay, as if, I mean, you create some space between you and stress. You use a third person to, this is stress. You become a spectator. You become a spectator. And that's what we're trying to do in meditation. So that we can look at stress objectively. we can try some, maybe we can try a few minutes of this stress management, this emotion management, this meditation. Okay, you can do this. Okay, this evening I have two of you as my focus, and I hope the rest will fit in. Okay, because they have heard me in a few places already during this trip. Okay, I haven't seen you. Your dad has heard me yesterday, and some other people they have heard, they have listened to me also. I can have your question from Ed. You know, I can have more questions from anyone later. But now I'd like to introduce you to simple meditation. I think I can find something here. This is more of American meditation. This is from Harvard University Business Review about summarizing, reviewing the findings from different research projects on mindfulness. And this first chapter, is the review of a project called Resilience for the Rest of Us. Resilience. Your brain, your body, your mind needs resilience. This is my New York Times columnist. Okay, it's Harvard graduate Daniel Goleman, the author of Emotional Intelligence. As just a little bit about him. In the mid or in the early 1970s, he and his friend, as PhD student from Harvard, they went to India in search of meditation teaching. First, they did Hindu meditation, and then they went to Bodh Gaya. They did two meditation retreat with a disciple of Mahasi Sayadaw called Munindraji. 2 10-day retreat at the Burmese temple. After that, Goenkaji, that's a Burmese Indian who as a business person who became a very good worldwide meditation teacher. So he went to Bodh Gaya, that's where the Buddha became enlightened in India. He conducted 5 more meditation courses, 10 days each. For these two, they joined. So 7 days of meditation retreat. And they came back to Harvard, they told their professor, we want to write our PhD thesis on meditation. This is going to change Western psychology. And their professor told them, don't even try. This is a career-ending proposal. So they didn't get a chance to do this. But in the end, they got their PhD from Harvard, psychology, and when they become an authority in their field, they started experimenting on Buddhist meditation. They have been meditation. They have been meditated for more than 4 decades, more than 40 years. So this is by one of them, Dr. Daniel Goleman. I know you're tired, maybe you can help me. Can you read this? Read this loud. From this?
Maybe not from number 5.
To tackle this in the workplace, David Sin teamed with the CEO of a high-pressure 24/7 biotech startup. The circuitry that brings us back to full energy and focus after an amygdala hijack concentrates in the left side of our prefrontal area, says Richard Davidson, a neuroscientist at the University of Wisconsin. He's also found that when we're distressed, there's heightened activity on the right side of the prefrontal area. Each of us has a characteristic level of left to right activity that predicts our daily mood range. If we're tilted to the right, more upsets. If to the left, we're quicker to recover from distress of all kinds. To tackle this in the workplace, Davidson teamed with the CEO of a high-pressure 24/7 biotech startup and meditation expert John Kabat-Zinn of the University of Massachusetts Medical School. Kabat-Zinn offered the employees at the biotech outfit instruction and mindfulness and attention training method that teaches the brain to register anything happening in the present moment with full focus but without reacting. The introductions are simple.
To register everything that comes to the brain without reacting. This is the keyword. To register everything without reacting. In Burmese, the narrow. People would try to say, yeah. Everyone.
The instructions are simple. Find a quiet, private place where you can be undistracted for a few minutes. For instance, close your office door and mute your phone. Number 2, sit comfortably with your back straight but relaxed. Focus your awareness on your breath, staying attentive to the sensations of the inhalation and exhalation, and start again on the next breath. Number 4. Do not judge your breathing or try to change it in any way. Number 5. See anything else that comes to mind as a distraction. Thoughts, sounds, whatever. Let them go and return your attention to your breath. After 8 weeks and an average of 30 minutes a day practicing mindfulness, the employees had shifted their ratio from tilted toward the stressed out right side to leaning toward the resilient left side. What's more, they said that they remembered what they loved about their work. They got in touch with what had brought them energy in the first place.
I want you to get a copy of this. And the instruction is number 1 to number 5. It's very simple. You can do this as a kind of a DIY, do it yourself meditation. Okay. So we are going to do this now. Number 1 and number 2 are very simple, just about your posture, just sit comfortably. paralyzed. And you don't have to sit this way, you can sit like auntie. Make us uncomfortable. Right? You can have a lotion. Number three is focus your breath on your focus your awareness on your breath. One good thing is that, okay, it doesn't mind, you can focus on your breath. But if you focus on your tummy movement, the rising and falling of your tummy, usually we accumulate and store stress here. You're going to find tension. So if you do this exercise, pay attention to the tummy movement, rising, falling. As you breathe in, you focus on, you label it, okay, rising. As you breathe out, you focus falling because your tummy is falling, like that. And just for you today, I know you're tired. This is for people who are tired. When you breathe in, you just count three. 1, 2, 3. Okay? When you breathe out, count 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. If you're not very tired, you can have a higher number. But this is just a lower number. Okay? This, and then what you have to do before you breathe in is that you have to tell yourself physically you are exhausted. You are also very stressed out. And what you have to do, you have to be compassionate towards your body. This exhausts you. Don't fight with this time. Don't fight with the stress. Just accept this is time. And feel compassion for this body. Breathe in, supply oxygen for this time body. Breathe out. You can see, you know, you're going to discover all your muscles are tense because of the exam. Now is a question of comforting yourself, comfort your subconscious mind, reassuring yourself. It's okay. So with compassion, breathe in. Count 1, 2, 3. Okay. With your attention on your tummy and breathe out. Count 1, 2, 4. In the meantime, if your mind goes to your exam, your study, which it will, and just relax, okay, this is automatic thought. This is auto thought. This is automatic thought. It's okay. It's okay. And then return to your attention to the tummy movement, rising and falling, rising. You will find your attention goes to what you have to do again and again because of the anxiety. It's okay, you just have to recognize, okay, this is anxiety. Anxiety. If you see your books, just acknowledge seeing. Okay. If you are thinking, just also thinking. If you are calculating, just calculating. If you are thinking, just register thinking. This is thinking, and then return to the breath. Slow and gentle breathing. Count 3. Okay, count the out-breath, 1, 2, 3, no sorry, in-breath, 1, 2, 3, out-breath, 1, 2, 4. We start now for 6 minutes. See, these researchers, they actually look into this automatic thought. If you don't interfere with your thought, if you just acknowledge it mindfully, acknowledge its presence, and not try to chase it away, not trying to suppress it, not trying to modify your thought, you know, by adding more ideas and thought. If you are not interfering with your thought, your thought will only last 90 seconds, meaning 1.5 minutes. That's all. How many of your thought? One thought will last. After that, it will be replaced by another thought. Another thought. The reason a thought, okay, lingers on is because we interfere with it. We are not observing as a spectator. We become active. See? What about you? I have asked your name.
Nicole.
Pieces of stress management. It comes from mindfulness, what mindfulness does is to acknowledge it. If you fight with that, meaning you are interfering. And if you are suppressing it, you want to chase it away, you are interfering with that. We call that personalization. And what you do is okay, you just observe the flow of your thought as it is. As if it's not your thought. You're just observing. Is there a question?
Oh, not your question.
You sadly, do you stay up mind from the clean plate? With one eye, safe. Item, dating with it is a bottle. Hello. To go, Majesina, Dora, by a single Jesina. A bit of my dear, near that damn book. Majesina. Not what, Majesina. Do you own our passion, whom show me? Passion, female, and I know your wife's a biology and a check of it. The Padita de Tele Tigerti, we parted in Tiga, Dorada in Obama. Yalong, and I know your different talent and 10 different skills.
Next question. mind, or my kid, or we took the or not. It all cool.
ပြီးတော့ပြစ်တာမဟုတ်ဘူးအခုသူတွေလောရတယ်ပေါ့ဟိုဟာပရိမိတ်တရားကိုမိအောင်အနည်းဆုံးနှစ်ပုံပေးပုံမှာဆုတောင်းကြရလို့ရှိရင်ဟိုဟာလုပ်ပါပရိမိတ်တရားကိုမိအောင်ပေါ့နော်ဆိုတော့ဘာမှစက်တန်းဝင်ရောက်တခါရင်းနေအခုသူလုပ်ပြရပါမယ်ရှင်အရိမိတ်တရားအခုဒီတူတိတန်တတ်ပုံမှာရှိ ဒီစားချောက်ရလာလေဒီတိုင်းဟဲ့နေအန်တီဒိုနော်လာမင်းမြတ်စွာဘုရားအပွင့်မှတ်လုပ်ထားတယ်အဲ့ဒါမသိချင်ဘူးဘုရားဒါပဲပြောချင်တယ်မသိချင်ဘူး ချင်းနိုင်အဲ့ဒီချက်ပို့ပြီးလို့ဆိုစီကွာအရင်နေ့ကျမြတ်စွာဘုရားသစ္စာလေးကဒုရုဝတ်ချက်တင်ပါဟုတ်တယ်မလားမာပရိနိဗ္ဗာန်တော်ဒီမှာဆိုထားတာမက်ကင်ရှစ်ပါသင်ရှားရှိတဲ့ဒီဟန်တာမစိတ်တော့ဒါကြောင့်ဒုံးကြည့်ပါဟုတ်တယ်မလားဒုံးကြည့်ပါ ရှိတာဟိုလူတွေရဲ့ရိပ်ပါတယ်ညာလာတာသူကနှစ်ပေါင်းတရားကျေကျေတရားတော့ပဲတရားကျေကျေတော့မရှိဘူးအရင်တော့ဆိုရင်လူတွေဟိုလည်းအများအားဖြင့်တော့တရားထိုင်နေရိပ်ထိုင်နေတယ်မရှိဘူးအဲ့ဒီချိန်မှာတရားသိမထိုင်တဲ့အခါကျတော့တရားသိမထိုင်ဘူးလည်းလူတွေကလည်းစိတ်ထဲမှာလူဖြစ်လို့ဆိုတော့မဖြစ်နိုင်တဲ့အခြေအနေဆိုတဲ့အကုန်တွေးဒါကြောင့် ခုလက်ရှိရှိတဲ့တာဝန်အားသူကကြိပါလို့ပြီ။ဟာ။ကြိပါလို့ပြီ။ကြိပါလို့ပြီးတော့နောက်လာမယ့်ရိမိတဲ့မြတ်စွာဘုရားနဲ့သူကအပွင့်နဲ့တောင်းနေ။ဩကာတာဩကာတာ။အဲ့မြတ်စွာဘုရားရဲ့လက်ထံမှာဇန်ရမက်ရဖို့ရနေပန်ဒီယာ။ဩ။ဒီမြန်စွာတိတိကျကျ ကျွတ်ကျတော့ဘယ်မှာဆုံးသားကမင်းရရှိရပါလို့ခါဒီပုတ်ကြီးခါပေးတာ။အုံးဆိုရတာကတော့အပူချုံလေးကမြားရှိတာ။အခုဒီဟာကိုကတန်ဖို့မထားလို့ဆိုရင်အဲ့ဒီထုတ်ကင်ကပိုခက်။ဟဲ့ဟဲ့ဟဲ့။ဒါပြောတာပြန်ပြောတယ်ကွာ။ဟုတ်လား။ကွာ။တရားထိုင်ပြီးတော့ဒီလောက်တော့။ကောင်းကောင်း။တရားကိုပြောသေးတာ။
အဆုံးလုံးသွေးတာအဲ့ဒါကိုအဆုံးသွေးတာ
You plan your journey much ahead Don't think we know all the time. You will see, if you look at the record of the Congress solution, Congress, I mean the House, the people representative, the Congress and the Senate, these are some of the best people that people have chosen and sent there to make decisions on our behalf. And if you just read the history, of that decision making, they'll have to review the old decision again. You know? So, I don't actually, I'm not worried about having a perfect situation. I'm never, a decision that is never wrong. That's why the Buddha emphasizes intention. At the time of making the decision, intention. If the intention is if you try your best and your intention is if you don't mind using Buddhist words to reduce or to solve problem for yourself and for others, meaning you're making this decision because you want to solve problem for yourself or others, you would say that you have pure intention. With that, if the decision happened to be wrong, you shouldn't regret. If a surgeon, okay, uses a scalpel operating on a patient with the intention to save his life, it turns out that the operation is not successful. This surgeon has no regret. He shouldn't have any regret because his intention was to save. You can, in terms of manifestation, you can compare this doctor using a knife, a kind of knife, okay, and that culminates in someone losing his life. What about then a gangster, okay, using a knife and killing someone on the street? Both use. In both incidents, people lose their life. The difference is the intention. The man on the street, he intends to kill. But this one, he intends to save. That's the difference. In Burmese, we call Sijina. Sijina dance, Sijina dance. We cannot be sure, okay, now I'm going to grow some fruit. I cannot be totally sure that my fruits are going to be the best. But at the time of growing this seed, if I have good intention, I'm going to make sure that this is the place where I get some sunshine, some oxygen. Some nice soil, some water. I can only do this much. The rest, I have to leave it and to leave the law cause and effect to take care of itself. People are anxious, okay, in your age, okay, what to study at uni, which line to go, that sort of. So people worry, and if that's your worry, this comes with more than life, because we have so many choices. We have so many choices. Even okay, well, you want to be a doctor, but you end up being an engineer and being a pilot. This is not the end of the world.
Hello.